Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
It's a pleasure to have you with us today, live on the award-winning Close Up Radio, which is a service and a broadcast series of the Telly Award-winning Close Up Television and Radio, 2 p.m. Eastern here at the Broadcast Center, 11 a.m. Pacific. Thanks for joining us, everybody, all around the world for a fascinating conversation we have coming up. It is August 31st, 2021, the last day of August. Here comes September. Are you ready? We are. And thanks for being with us. We've got an amazing guest joining us here on the show, Andrea Todaro. She's a multidimensional achiever and president of Innovative Placements, a woman with more than one life passion, a long-time, lifelong New Yorker, Buffalo native to be exact. She explored two of her ardent interests. Those ardent interests are really incredible, too, because she discovered them in her undergraduate studies at SUNY, which is the State University of New York system, in Fredonia, music and psychology. And Andrea later received a master's degree from Villanova University, where that really enabled her to achieve her dream of helping people and also engineering their growth, which is so incredibly important. In 2001, she had founded Innovative Placements, which is a company that places people with a wide range of qualifying conditions in fulfilling employment. Now, the flexibility and revenue Andrea enjoys from this profession liberates her to also be an opera singer. That's right. Andrea notes that in her early music and dance classes, she learned lessons about poise and confidence and reaching outside of one's comfort zone, which is something we all should do from time to time. These are lessons that she passes on to her clients in one-on-one trainings and group workshops. Such coaching services are part of what Innovative Placements offers to the large number of Americans whose aspirations might be compromised by a disability or disabling condition. And we know what's really wonderful too, she really adores meeting people from disabilities and experiencing this new level of humanity. She understands truly the human condition. She takes delight in watching people reach their potential. And she's sort of like a conduit, a facilitator in so many different ways. She loves when she sees them discover their personal power, and then they blossom. Andrea helps clients to identify their strengths, which makes them more effective when interviewing. And her team can also look at any accommodations that might be necessary to ensure success. Hiring those who think or move differently really helps companies benefit from a loyal and empathetic employee. Also, she says that the market has grown exponentially since she first started in the placement field. When she did experience her first lull during the 2020 pandemic, she turned her musings into a book of poetry, The Tales and Trials of Triple Creek. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But first, live and direct from Buffalo, it's my pleasure to welcome to Close Up Radio, Andrea Todaro. Andrea, welcome to the show. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you with us today. Welcome.
Oh, welcome. Thank you so much, Jim. I am so incredibly honored and excited to be on your show today. I just can't even believe that this is real, to be completely honest. I've watched your shows in the past, and you know, and I love how you coined the word levity and levity. I use the word levity as well, and I thought, boy, we are resonant souls, you know, in using that word. And I have to say, you introduced me inimitably well, so I almost don't even know where to go from that, because I feel like you covered all the bases, but I'm sure there's a lot more depth for us to plumb together today. I am so excited to be here, and you know, I felt like we had such an amazing consonance over the phone during our little preamble there, you know, when we got a chance to get to know each other before the show and talk a little bit, I felt there was such richness in our conversation. And I so appreciate that. I really do. So thank you.
Well, that's our show, folks. Thanks for joining us. That was fantastic. How are we going to top that? You've said it all, and you've said it beautifully. And if you like the way she said what she just said, folks, she can do the same for you. Make you feel like $1 million in 5 minutes or less.
And the thing
well,
is,
thanks
I
for those
mean it.
Compliments.
I'm sincere
and
about that.
You
I
obviously
mean it.
Are very... You're passionate about what you do, and you have this passion for helping others, and you even turned that passion into a business, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your life's journey, which led to the creation of Innovative Placements, when it started, and some of the work that you do, because obviously
Absolutely.
A lot of it is coaching and confidence building. But for you,
yes.
you had to have a life's journey and aha moments that pointed you in the direction of realizing you don't want to just do this work. You are meant to. You have to do this work.
Yes. I really feel like it's my soul's code and my charge, my personal charge to do this work and to fulfill this life's mission and helping others. And I feel like we all have that kind of soul's journey and code. You know, whether we think on spiritual terms or not, we all have a charge to help others in meaningful ways through what we do. And to you know, collectively co-create together, you know, to have that experience together and helping to enrich each other's lives. And I have to say that Innovative Placements has enriched my life, you know, tenfold, you know, exponentially. So it's given back to me in beautiful ways as much as I've given to it, you know, and Innovative Placements originated back in 2001. And it was born out of my need to forge out and balance my opera singing with the human services field that I was pursuing at the time and enjoying immensely. So when I was in the human services, I was kind of caught at a crossroads where, you know, I was either going to be the manager of a group home helping people with disabilities, namely intellectual deficits, you know, helping them in all aspects of daily living and personal care and recreation and everything. However, I really felt more of a calling toward working as an employment specialist and a gentleman who was an incredible opera singer, Basso, Tony Bellissimo, or Tony Most Beautiful, we used to call him because he enjoyed being called that, enjoyed being patted on the back. He had performed with me in the Cavanocchi Theater in Buffalo on a professional show, and he said, hey, why don't you come down and interview for an employment specialist position, helping people with disabilities find employment, or now they say varying abilities, differing abilities, which I like a lot better. And I even want to have shirts made saying, don't diss my ability. Because I think that's more apropos. But anyway, he kind of reeled me into the field, and I'll tell you, it was kismet from the word go. When I met with the coordinator of the department, I absolutely fell in love with her and the experience of just what they were offering, the nature of the role, and it integrated the marketing piece and bonding with employers and being innovative, which is why my company is called Innovative Placements, and the creativity component of looking at adaptive equipment for people with disabilities and helping to problem solve and overcome barriers through creative means. And it also integrated my passion and my love for humanity and helping me develop that humanity and humility that I may not have potentially developed had I not pursued this field. So again, it's given back to me in ways that are just immeasurable and that I can't even quite, you know, it's like it's ineffable, you know. I can't even quite, you know, expound on that fully. And so, you know, then I decided, you know, I'm really becoming more of a veteran in the field after 5 or 6 years of being here, but I don't really want to oversee a department of 20 people or 40 people and get away from the hands-on nature of the work. I love the direct client contact. I love working directly with people with disabilities and in helping empower their potential. So instead, I forged out to create Innovative Placements, as you know, I'd mentioned before in 2001. And we are a full-service third-party company that works as a vendor, a provider or contractor with two State Department companies, organizations, and they actually are the source of our client referrals. So, you know, we get probably about 120 to 130 clients through these different agencies, state agencies, and we work with people with all types of disabilities, you know, on the spectrum. Visual impairment and blindness, hearing impairment, pretty much everything. You know, as I mentioned, autism or on the spectrum, we work with people with cerebral palsy, you know, but typically the people that we work with are a little more on the professional end. They usually have degrees or advanced education, and they are a large cross-section of individuals from a number of different backgrounds, IT, customer service, healthcare, pretty much across the board. And so it's like the general population. They just happen to have, you know, what used to be referred to as a disability, but now is evolving. So that's what I do in a nutshell, and that's how it originated. It was born out of my passion for the work I was already doing with companies. And I said, I want to go full throttle with this and develop my own business. I want to get away from some of the minutiae that takes me away from the client contact. I want to get away from the early morning gripe session staff meetings, and I just want to work directly with clients and serve them in the best way I know how. So that was it. That's how it was born.
Mm. Gee, I wish you were passionate and enthusiastic about what you do. You are incredibly passionate, which is fantastic. I mean, it's wonderful. What are some of the qualities you feel that make, you know, a differently abled person such an ideal employee? And is it true that the pandemic itself has positively shaped attitudes on hiring your clients?
Absolutely. Absolutely to both of those questions in terms of, you know, I really think that hiring those who think or move differently, as you mentioned, or have a, quote, disability, you know, is not only a good thing socially, but it also helps companies benefit, as you mentioned, from a loyal and empathetic employee. And I think that's incredibly important, that it makes good business sense, and it really truly does. It's been scientifically proven through numerous studies since the early 1990s, 1980s and beyond, I should say, probably dates back to the 80s. And then it also, on the other side of it, is a great social pursuit because it helps in all ways in our society educate, you know, empower and provide sensitivity awareness to the general population on how motivated, loyal, adaptable, and valuable people with disabilities are. Numerous studies have cited, and I've noted throughout my 24-year tenure, I've noted how people with disabilities typically, I mean, they are going to show up to work on time. They're going to be dedicated and loyal, but not only just that. They're not just, you know, the ones that are, you know, pushing the broom and doing the grunt work. They're also making the decisions within the company. You know, they're also the leaders, or they advance off into leadership positions. They're creative. The thing that's really important is that they have had to learn to be good problem solvers and be very resourceful and creative because they've had to look at alternative ways of accomplishing aspects of their lives and work situations, and being able to perform similarly, but just in a different kind of way, or actually perform better. So I think that there are sometimes even overachievers in a way because they've had to compensate, or they feel they have to compensate in some sort of way. The final thing about people with disabilities that I've noticed, and I mentioned this previously, is that they're highly, highly empathetic, and they really understand. As I said, they have a sense of humanity and humility. They understand the human condition, and they're going to put in that kind of relationship building with other employees and really get in there and get in on the front lines to understand them fully and to empathize with their employers. And the bottom line is that, you know, from a statistic standpoint, you know, we're really, really thriving in that people with disabilities, I'll tell you, we have a 94% placement success rate for those who last at least 6 months on the job. And it's not necessarily just because we make great employment matches, but it's because the people we work with are that good and that capable and also follow their intuition and help us help them follow their intuition toward the right kind of field and position. So that's it kind of in a nutshell. as to why employers should hire them. There's so many reasons. But I think those reasons kind of are the preeminent ones. And then we would kind of look at maybe examples of some of those as well if we had more time. But that's how I feel and what I've experienced, as I said, on the front lines of helping people with disabilities find employment, where the rubber meets the road, but also what statistics have proven throughout the years. So Jim, you can take it from there. I don't know if you have
That's
questions.
That's incredible.
Really?
That is incredible. It's obvious that innovative placements is such a major part of your life. It's even led to numerous industry awards and recognition. But you also have other interests, too, even a second career with all of this, right? You were mentioning
yeah.
the music and the operatic performances. That's fascinating because music is a great healer, unifier, and universal language as well.
Yes, absolutely. And that was one of the reasons why I forged out to create my own business and originated that, because I wanted to fold the opera singing into that. And I said, how am I going to be able to combine these two forays? You know, I've got these great fields I enjoy very much. And I really want to still pursue the opera, which is, you know, it's funny because when I'll sing, people will say, oh, this must be your ultimate passion. And I'm like, well, but not really. Innovative placements is too, you know, and working with my population of people who are, you know, so extraordinary in many, many regards and have varying disabilities. But the opera is also soul food and helps me express some other areas, maybe the right hemisphere of my brain, you know, maybe expand my creativity, and they fold into each other. So the nice thing about the work that I do is that I can take some time out. I can take a little reprieve, have my staff cover for a couple weeks, a week here, a week there, and I can go and pursue the opera delights. So I can, you know, forge out and travel to Italy like I did in 2016 and 2017, and I can sing a major opera there. Opera's there. So
yeah.
I sing with operas. I've had a couple opera organizations that have picked me up and that have been extraordinary to sing with on the International Young Opera Projects, and they have been so much fun. So I've gone to the small town of Monte Sansovino, which is nestled in the Tuscan Hills, and had an amazing time touring all throughout Italy and experiencing the flavors of Florence and Milan and, as I said, Monte Sansovino and all of those areas surrounding and, you know, going on an opera tour. So that's been, you know, one experience. The other I had was I was able to sing inside the Great Pyramid a little bit when I was there in Egypt on a spiritual retreat. And I've sung in Spain in some of their famous cathedrals and also in some of the local hotels there and clubs. So I've, you know, sung a little bit internationally in various places. Oh, I sang on the Great Wall in China, which was fun, you know, a little impromptu, you know, for the group. But then I've also performed in opera productions with New York Lyric Opera, Central Florida Lyric Opera, Buffalo Opera Unlimited here in Buffalo, Nickel City Opera, to name a few, and a lot of local shows. So I like to be a turnkey for inspiration so that people can say, hey, you know what? I can do this stuff too. I don't need to have one stream, or I don't need to have a monotone career. I can absolutely add some flavor to it and play with the possibilities. Does that make sense, Jim? Like, I don't feel as if people have to have one sole identity. And I think increasingly in our culture, we're becoming very diversified as individuals and as a culture as well. So we realize there are these different layers to us, these different talents that we need to express within this one lifetime that we have. And how do we do that, right? So,
mm-hmm. That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you're obviously mm-hmm. doing it through your talent and skill set and your thirst for life, which I think is very, very beautiful. You know, speaking of all that, this past year or so, we've all had to adjust big time, and folks
yes.
with disabilities have been making adjustments really their whole lives. They're experts at it.
Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, did you have to make any adjustments in your life and business as well?
Absolutely. I had to pivot for a moment. There was a lull in the action with my client referrals. They kind of dipped in March and April as the two agencies I was working for closed. You know, momentarily, they didn't really completely close, but everyone went off site and they had to get reorganized and, you know, kind of reshape what they did. You know, a lot of it was just kind of figuring out and kind of, you know, kind of almost feeling blindfolded, you know, in a way, feeling my way through the experience because, you know, they did go off-site and they couldn't refer job candidates our way until they got situated and were able to work remotely. And a lot of that, you know, kind of requires some infrastructure shaping. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to use this time as effectively and maximize it. I haven't had downtime in a while, and I've always wanted to write a book. So I did that during that, you know, as I said, lull in the action. But what I have noted, to get back to the people with disabilities that we serve, what I've noted is they really do find alternative ways of doing things. And during the pandemic, in particular, businesses seem to really recognize that remote work was advantageous in certain instances and that people weren't necessarily just going to goof off and be indolent or lazy, but they didn't need to be watched, like, and kind of supervised. I don't always like the word supervised and managed the way that they thought, that they could actually have a little elasticity and freedom and be highly productive as long as they were trusted, right? So I feel that that was advantageous for my clients because, you know, during the pandemic, quite often employers had to look at alternative ways of doing things. I mean, people were unfortunately contracting COVID, so the employers needed to look at, okay, this person might have long hauler symptoms. What can we do to accommodate them, still keep them on, but maybe, you know, make some accommodations for their newly developed disability potentially, you know? So I feel like it was advantageous because it really opened up our ears and eyes to our individual and collective vulnerabilities and our collective humility and consciousness, you know, and conscience in many ways. So I feel like for my population, it was so advantageous because employers for the first time wanted to have the dialogue. You know, so a lot of them were coming to me to say, you know, we have a labor shortage right now, and we found that working with people with disabilities is good business. Let's talk. What can we do? Get us a resume. We'll interview anyone. So, but they really, it opened up the door for them to have some level of, some medium of not just communication, but of awareness for the first time. So I feel like a lot of my clients were able to work in home-based or remote positions, or I shouldn't say a lot, but a fair number, or, you know, accommodations were much more, you know, forthcoming during this time. And there was more of a, you know, kind of a pliability and flexibility in employers' attitudes.
That's so true, yes, and that continues into obviously this year and probably for a long time, I don't doubt it. And some positive things have come out of it as well, which I think is a beautiful thing. You know,
Yeah. You've
achieved so much. Are there things that you're most proud of?
You know, that's such a great question. I've given that a little bit of thought, you know, when I got your questions in advance, I definitely thought about that question. I feel that I'm most proud of, you know, to be completely honest with you, my life's tapestry of working with people with disabilities and all the people throughout the years I've been able to help get employed. So I think that is probably my greatest achievement in a way. I mean, I've won awards, I've gotten these different, you know, opportunities throughout my life. But I just feel like the awards are meaningful and they mean a lot, you know, they're substantial. I appreciate them, but really it is the actual work, the daily labor and the work and the daily triumphs, the daily celebrations of people that have become employed that I can now go out with, treat to lunch, and we can celebrate together and we can, you know, they can be our next success stories and they can teach other people, mentor and teach other people how to do it. So it's actually just, as I said, the daily experience and how many people we've been able to place successfully in the workforce and where they are now. Like, seeing someone transform is absolutely amazing to me, from their former, sometimes a shell of who they were previously, if they've been in a car accident or suffered a workplace injury, or they've had, you know, some negative experiences, maybe a divorce that lent itself to some depression, led to, you know, disappointment and anxiety, so that they had to seek mental health services. So, like, to see that person propped up against their brand new car, you know, whatever it is, their brand new Porsche, like, you know, 4 years later, and they've taken off 20 pounds, and now they're managing their department as opposed to just working as a cog on the wheel, and they are empowered, they look amazing, they're in their brand new suit, and I don't even recognize them. They always recognize me because I pretty much, you know, minus 10 to 20 pounds or what have you, plus or minus a few pounds. I look exactly the same, have the same little sweep of hair, maybe a couple extra wrinkles, but I don't even recognize them when I see them. They're so ignited and excited, and they're completely transformed. They are speaking with confidence and authority, and just to see that is, I think, my biggest accomplishment, to see that person thrive and beaming and come to our meetings, our workshops, to, you know, again, empower other clients to reach the same, you know, latitudes of success. So that, I would say, is probably our altitudes of success. That's probably the biggest one. I would say the other big accomplishment I've had, I think, is in the opera realm. You know, I don't feel that I anticipated I would play leads in operas and that I would be on major stages the way I have at times in my life. I feel like I've been hurled into situations where I felt I was very out of my element, and I wasn't a music major in college. I just kind of made it through the back door. I decided to be a psychology major and kind of keep my feet on the terra firma, and be more practical and grounded, so I didn't have to sing for my supper, so to speak, you know. So I didn't anticipate still being able to be as successful and perform in professional productions or quasi-professional ones, because, again, I didn't have the music degree nor the interest in musical theory and to have those musical underpinnings that a lot of the music graduates had. And I was painfully shy in high school. I would hide behind my sheet music, peer out every so often to see if anyone was looking, and then hide behind it again and start singing. So the point I'm making, Jim, is that I feel that I just never, ever anticipated being driven to some of these challenging successes I've had in memorizing full librettos, even in my 40s, late 40s, and keeping up with people who are half my age. It was tough. It was a formidable task, but it was exciting. And I stepped outside my comfort zone, and that's what I teach my clients to do, too, is to step outside their comfort zones and expand those comfort zones slowly, but, you know, with assurity. So that's, I would say, those things. And, you know, one final thing I would just quickly mention is that I did coordinate a career fair in the Niagara Falls area, and a series of events that drew about 1,800 to 2,000 job seekers and 120 employers. It had a health and wellness component, an award ceremony honoring employers in the area. So I've coordinated a lot of different events that have been quite successful, surprisingly successful, not necessarily being a type, you know, an organized, methodical, and conscientious person by nature. I feel like I've had to wear that hat and really develop it. So that's it. That's it, I would say.
That's plenty. Are you kidding me? That is fantastic.
Thank you.
You know, you're very engaging and very enthusiastic, hopeful, positive, inspiring. We have about 2 minutes left. Could you sing a few words for us, or maybe goodbye, dear
to.
Jim, and your operatic tone, and do it with levity?
With levity, absolutely. Levity. I love it. So one other quick thing is I am going to be producing and pretty soon publishing my book, it's called The Tales and Trails of Triple Creek, and it's going to be a very exciting read, promises to be an interesting read, and that can be something maybe for a future conversation, but I did want to kind of give that a little bit of a plug. I'm really excited to have that on Amazon.
Amazon, and what is your
Amazon,
website,
Barnes
if people want to connect on your website?
Yeah, it's a great question. For innovative placements, it's www.ipswny.com. pretty straightforward, right? So just to get to the opera real fast, let's see here. I'm going to go with O mio bambino caro. Sound a little warbly on the phone, but we'll do our best. O mio bambino caro, mi piace bella.
How do you go from that to anyways? Oh, anyway, I just threw that in for effect.
That's hilarious.
That's like
honestly,
amazing.
No,
I think all of the windows
like
in
Tiny
the studio
Tim
shattered.
On the back. Yeah, I know. I sounded a little like Tiny Tim on the back of a pickup truck. I have to admit, there was
definitely really good.
And then there was this, like, there's a buzzsaw or some construction work going around outside. And there was also a fire engine that was competing for my high C going down the road. I thought it was another soprano moving in.
All of that was happening right now?
Simultaneously,
oh
indeed.
Wow, we didn't hear any of that. We just heard your voice.
Oh, my
we
heaven.
Just heard your
thank
wonderful
heaven.
Voice.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, this was a lot of fun, and thanks for doing that. And again, we encourage folks to make connection with Andrea, and you're a breath of fresh air, and it's easy to see why, you know, you've received the recognition as one of the women of influence in Buffalo business. It makes total sense. Hopefully we'll
thank
chat
you.
More down the line, maybe hear some success
I
stories, testimonials.
So.
That would be awesome.
I would
and again, we
love that, Jim. I
encourage
would love
folks
that.
To look for the book of poetry that's also coming out, The Tales,
yes.
Tales and Trials of Triple Creek, being
it's
published
actually
shortly.
Of Triple Creek, not
it's
going to
be, I tell you, yes, and Amazon and other places where people are going to be able to get it. Andrea, thanks for joining us on the show. The 30 minutes went by in a New York minute, but the entire episode is recorded in its entirety so people can hear it in full if they listen to it in the archives as well. This was a delight, and thanks for joining us on Close Up Radio today, and hope we chat much more down the line. It'll be a pleasure.
I can't wait, Jim. I'll tell you, I am beaming from ear to ear. You are an absolutely fantastic host. I am just overwhelmed with joy today. You know, I don't know. I usually am pretty charged and pumped up with my business and experiences, but I'll tell you, you really just gave me that extra spinal realignment, I guess. I felt like I got a cosmic hug from you. Thank you so much. You're amazing.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure. A cosmic hug and no copay.
Right? And no COVID. I hate to
and
say
no COVID.
COVID.
That's it, exactly.
Stay away from that.
You be well, Andrea, and it was actually
really
a delight and an honor. And keep doing what you're doing. You're lighting up the world with your positivity.
Thank you.
We will share again down the line, I'm sure. You have a terrific day, okay?
You too, Jim. Thank you. Bye.
You're very – bye-bye now. Andrea is here, and we're so excited to have her here, and she's amazing. Her website, I'll spell it out for you, ipswny.com. Jim Masters here, your host. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, thanks for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio. We appreciate you as well. She's got spunk, like Ed Asner, who passed away this week, who played Lou Grant on Mary Tyler Moore, when he told Mary Tyler Moore, "You've got spunk." She, Andrea, has spunk for sure. And really, really enthusiastic person. Thanks for joining us again, and you have a great day from all of us at Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.